probably the ideal strategy, because France gets up and does this big, long presentation about, oh, yeah, France, we are the greatest cultural center of Europe and created all this great art and culture. Oh, you love the France. And then Los Angeles gets up and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Hanks.
And then he just stands there.
And he just stands there. And the IOC is like, Tom Hanks, give him the Olympics. But we kind of knew this was going to happen anyway. The only question was what year each of those cities would get.
Oh yeah.
Because that's the thing, it was
Boston. Originally, Boston was in the forefront, and they backed out when they realized this is going to be ridiculous.
No, they backed out when they realized there was going to be a citizen uprising if they moved forward with the plans.
Just like how we didn't let them knock down Fenway. Yay, Boston!
You should have been here for that whole fiasco.
I'm sad I wasn't.
We covered that in depth, and oh my God, what a train wreck.
Well, I do. There are lots of people theorizing, and I don't know how much truth there is to it, but I know that I do think that it is a nice sentiment, if it's true, that part of why the favor got kind of pushed towards Paris was in light of things that have happened in the last year in Paris. And if ever there was a time for needing some national pride, and especially city pride, this is it.
They also put their hands up and said, we'll do it. And that's kind of what the awarding process is now.
And also Paris, for those of you who haven't been there, it's pretty equipped for it. I mean, they're going to have to make a couple changes. They're going to have to probably build a few things, but essentially it's great because there are obviously plenty of outside Olympic tourist things to do in Paris. But on top of that, the way the city is laid out, it won't disrupt their lives as much as it would, say, Boston.
Yeah. That was never a good idea.
No, that would have been horrible.
Never a good idea.
Yeah.
Cleveland Indians. You're a baseball girl.
Oh, I saw... Dang it. That was like the first story I read, and now I'm forgetting. When I was like, ooh, what thing am I
doing? This is a pretty slow-moving story. You've had a lot of time to get on board with it.
And I think that's why I was just like, yeah.
Well, you can't look it up now and then tell me what it is.
I'm not going to. I'm looking to see if I made a note about it in my notes.
You know what it is or you don't.
All right, go.
Set an American League record today by recording their...
Dang it. Yeah, yes, I knew that.
21st straight win.
Yes.
Now, they want the all-time record. They need six more to beat the New York Giants. They got four games coming up against the Kansas City Royals, which could put them a long way toward that.
Yeah.
Because the Royals aren't bad, but nobody is the Indians right now. They are
evidently
tied.
I mean, 21 straight?
So 21 straight is an American league.
Dang, I knew that. Dang it.
21 straight is an American League record. The New York Giants
what is theirs?
Of 1916, by the way, that's the 1916 New York Giants, have the all-time record with 26 consecutive wins. Cleveland, with one more win, will own second place by themselves. Right now, they are tied with the 1880 Chicago White Stockings, a team that we all remember well, and the 1935 Chicago Cubs.
And to be fair as well, back then, there were way fewer teams you're playing against.
Yeah.
So theoretically, if you were going to... What's that thing they did in high school? If like one kid got an A and everyone else got C's. If you were going to scale
grading
it
on a curve?
Yes. If you were going to grade it on a curve, theoretically, I mean, they're way ahead. Because if you're playing six teams as opposed to playing 12... It's a little more difficult to predict to strategize.
I'm going to take the 1935 Cubs out of this because there was actual professional baseball at that point. But if we're talking about teams from 1880 and 1960.
Yeah, there were what, four teams, six teams?
Baseball, it's not just that there were fewer teams. Baseball was not their full-time job. They all worked at the same factory when they weren't playing baseball.
That's so crazy to think about. The early
days of baseball are a lot like beer league softball. You know, everybody works at the brewery during the day, and then you go play for the brewery baseball team at night.
That's so insane.
So it's not quite the same level of talent that you got right now.
Edith Windsor.
She died mm-hmm. today at the age of 88.
Mm-hmm.
She was responsible for the Supreme Court decision that allowed gay marriage in the United States of America. And she was one of the earliest advocates for gay marriage in the United States.
Yes, and that decision came as a result of when her first wife died, who obviously it was 2009, it wasn't her legal wife. Correct. At that point.
She wanted some rights.
Yeah, she was slammed with a $363,000 estate tax bill for inheriting her estate, to which she was like, no, yeah. This woman's been my wife like forever. And then, of course, in 2013, the Supreme Court ended up ruling in her favor, which led the groundwork to them ruling 2 years later to overturn the Defense of Marriage Act.
Yep.
And that's, so basically this woman she's responsible for, she was the one who kicked it off.
She's it. She's the one that stood up and said, no, I demand my rights, and good for her.
And yeah, and she's survived by her current wife, Judith Cassan Windsor.
Monkey selfie. This is a big story yesterday.
I don't know.
David Slater, the owner of a camera that a rare crested macaque named Naruto used to snap a selfie, has settled with PETA over who owns the rights to the photo. Slater has agreed to donate 25% of revenues from the photo to protect macaques. Naruto is a crested macaque. And PETA has agreed to stop trying to prove that monkeys are protected by copyright law. That was the nature of the lawsuit in the federal appeals court. PETA arguing that because the monkey took the selfie, that it owned the copyright to the image.
We live in a ridiculous time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Monkey selfie.
I couldn't even try to search my brain for reading that just because it's the funniest phrase ever.
You know what the worst
monkey
part?
Monkey selfie.
You know what the worst part is about this settlement? We still don't know if monkeys are protected, if monkeys can claim copyright on their artistic creations.
Well, they're our cousins. We should really figure that out.
I'm guessing that if you're not Homo sapiens, you're not protected by copyright law.
Pizza.
Is this the New York Pizza Fest?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this guy down in New York.
Stop getting them all right. I want to stump you.
There's this guy down in New York that holds all of these different like food festival events.
I've actually met him. That's the weird part.
That is he legit? Because
no.
They're calling Pizza Fest.
Is he legit? He's as legit as people who start comedy festivals.
Yeah.
Whereas it's not reputable necessarily, but there's never been a like New Yorker article or New York Magazine article written about him being like this.
Pizza Fest has been called online the Fire Festival of food, of pizza. Those who remember the Fire Festival from earlier this spring, where a bunch of wealthy socialites got stuck on an island with muggers and angry hogs, and no concert anywhere in sight.
Yes, I do remember this.
This is what it's... People paid $75 to go and taste the best pizza in New York.
Which, according to Gothamist, was supposed to be... It was promoted as, quote, a day-long celebration of the dough, cheese, tasty sauces, and delicious toppings.
Yeah, turned out not to be that. Turned out to be a couple different kinds of pizza. The guy organizing it says the pizza just didn't show up.
Yeah.
How many times has that happened in New York? You order 1,000 pizzas and they just don't show up.
Oh, yeah. That happens. Yeah, I lived in New York for 4 years and planned to go back there because the pizza doesn't show up.
Yeah.
Well, what's crazy, too, is that actually, there was such an uproar on Facebook. An attendee on Facebook said there were 3 tents serving up slices of pizza, quote, smaller than my palm.
Yeah.
And as you said, the Pizza Festival event page posted like, oh, we hit an incredible amount of delays. Like, it's supposed to be every 30 minutes a makeup tasting will be announced. Like, don't come to for the rest of the night's tastings. But there are videos from the event showing lines around the block of a near empty parking lot with 3 tents set up. And the complaints were, so prevalent that they actually got the attention of the Attorney General, who opened an investigation on Monday.
You don't want Eric Schneiderman calling your house.
Yeah.
You really don't.
A spokesman for the office said they were, quote, concerned about the online complaints, end quote, they saw following the event and are asking attendees to submit all complaints on the Attorney General's official website.
Schneiderman took on DraftKings. A guy running a pizza fest stands no chance against this man.
Like, dude, you are screwed.
Yeah. Here's what I'm wondering. Why are you spending $75 to eat pizza in New York?
When you can spend $75 to eat pizza in New York.
Have you ever been down?
Go to Artichoke and get two large pizzas. I swear to God, it'll be better than any. That's what, when I took Chris to New York for the first time, I just took him on a pizza tour of New York. If you're a New Yorker, you don't need to go to some stupid pizza festival.
Go down.
You can just figure it out.
Go down to Canal Street and get yourself 30 $2.50 slices.
Yeah. Go to Ray's. Get the best thing you've ever had for $3.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, what? I don't get it.
When I took Chris on like the pizza tour of New York, I think I took him to, I don't know, maybe 8 places. Probably collectively spent $50.
Yeah.
And had the best pizza you'll ever have in your life. By the way, if anyone from New York is listening or anyone is going to New York, go to this new place called Slice in Long Island City. It's an uppercase L-I-C in the middle. Oh, it's some of the best pizza I've ever had in New York City. It's really good. It's new, like 6 months now.
Not in New York City. It's on the island.
Long Island City is in Queens. It's just over the river.
Oh. I thought you were on...
No, not Long Island.
I thought you were on Long Island.
Technically, it's on Long Island, but...
Well, it's in Queens. It's still not in the city.
No.
It's in one of the boroughs, but it's not on the island.
Yes. It's not on that great...
New York City pizza is on the island.
Are you kidding? Brooklyn pizzas? Ooh, that can get it.
I just eat whatever's in the carts downtown.
That's my hot dog mentality, my pizza mentality.
I've given up on life. I just eat what's in the carts.
I was going
to
say, that's the most depressing New York pizza attitude I've ever heard.
Are we only on? Oh no, we're on my third. Okay, Fatberg.
Fatberg.
Yeah.
Fatberg.
Yeah, we're past the dinner hour, so we can talk about this, folks. If you're squeamish, turn off your radio for the next 3 minutes. You're really going to want to.
Nope.
Fatberg. One of the largest ever seen has been found under the streets of Whitechapel in London. It weighs 130 tons and is around 820 feet long, and it's completely blocking the sewer in Whitechapel, which is not good for anybody. Fatbergs are what happens when people throw baby wipes and diapers and cooking grease down the drain.
I was actually just about to have dinner at Tavern.
The grease and baby wipes congeal into a concrete-like substance that builds up over time and eventually blocks the sewer pipes.
It is insane that there is a term for that.
Yes. The water authorities are working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to get rid of this.
I can't.
It's believed to be one of the largest ever.
Oh, so they've been measuring these for a while.
Well, and London authorities would like to remind you, do not flush baby diapers and baby wipes down the toilet, and please do not throw your cooking grease down the drain.
See, that's what I find the most ridiculous about this. It's like, why? That's one of the first things I remember learning is don't pour cooking grease down the drain.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to learn don't throw diapers down the drain because it was already instinctual that that's a moronic thing to do.
Apparently, they have a tough time understanding this in London.
Oh, come on, England. Chavs. Don't prove us right for seceding from
it's
you.
It's the chavs. We all know it's the chavs.
I'm committed to stumping you. Facial recognition.
We're not talking about the iPhone X.
No.
Then we are probably talking about the new AI that came out that can either tell you what your political affiliation is, or talking about the new AI that came out that can tell you whether or not you're gay.
Dang it! I thought I was going to get you with that one.
There were three stories about facial recognition this week, and the gay one, obviously.
The gay one was my favorite.
The gay one is the one that got everybody up in arms because people don't want some random computer saying, hey, you're gay. It's like, that's for me to know and no one else to know. So.
Well, and it's, the thing is, I mean, the abstract of the paper, they said.
Has it been tested on Tom Cruise?
I really want it to be. That's the thing is, I find it, I understand why LGBTQ advocacy groups are up in arms about it. They're afraid that this sort of thing could be used to profile something that otherwise, you know, would be someone's private life. But it is fascinating. If you read the abstract, I started reading the paper, and the abstract is fascinating because this isn't like a theory that, I mean, it's a theory they're developing, but it's a theory they've begun to test. And the software that they, this software that they developed, the classifier correctly distinguish between gay and heterosexual men in 81% of cases and gay and heterosexual women in 74% of cases, as opposed to the human judges they used in the study, which was 61% for men and 54% for women.
So, gaydar is a thing.
But
hang on a second.
I feel like this is one of those things, and obviously I'm straight, so I don't really, I can't really validly have an opinion on the subject, because I don't know how it feels to be gay.
Number one, why are we even investigating this?
Because people are running out of things to investigate.
And number two, who cares?
It's like, it's more of a like, hey, can we do this? Is this a thing? I don't know what to compare it to.
One of those moments where you need an adult in the room to say, you know what? No. There are a lot of things we can do with artificial intelligence. This is one thing we don't need to do.
Well, but it's just like...
Study squirrel mating habits
It's just like we were talking about earlier with the new iPhone. Do we need to be able to use our face to make an emoji? No. But let's just roll the dice and see if we can do it just because we're bored. Like, it's that. I feel like it's that sort of thing. It's just an out of curiosity, is this possible? Which I feel like a lot of science, particularly these days, is. Not that it should be, but it is.
I can understand the appeal of a custom animated poo emoji. And I can understand why bored, affluent Americans would spend $1,000 to be able to do that.
Oh, I'm going to punch every one of you I see with one of those.
I don't understand why anybody is sitting around saying, hey, we need to be able to tell who all the gay people over here are.
I think it's less about needing to be able to tell and more about seeing if it's possible.
But it's based on this idea that...
But again, I think it's bold because...
But hang on a second, it's based on this idea that gay people have particular faces, which I'm not buying that either.
Yeah, that's true. There have been plenty of people who I've been let me tell you, from the amount of men that I have hit on and been deeply disappointed, and from the amount of women that have hit on me and been deeply disappointed, I can tell you, not really a science to it. And I'm not defending it because I honestly, you're a scientist. This was a Stanford study. You're a scientist at Stanford. Cure cancer.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Why are we wasting time on this?
Yeah.
Like, find a vaccine for HIV.
Get me some AI that can spot a terrorist.
Yeah. Get me some AI that I can just scan it on my body, see if I have cancer, get rid of it early.
No, get me some AI that can spot a terrorist by looking at his face. Say, oh, that's ISIS.
Get me some AI to see if a guy's going to cheat on me.
I don't care if...
That sounds like a fantastic use of technology.
It's probably coming next. Don Ohlmeyer. Yeah.
Nope, that's Garriott. Nope, you stumped me every time this
passed
week.
Away on Monday at the age of 72. Don Ohlmeyer was one of the original producers and is considered one of the co-creators of Monday Night Football.
Oh, that's why I don't know.
Which made him the bane of spouses and employers nationwide. He also worked on Olympic coverage for ABC through the 1980s. He worked on Wide World of Sports, and he helped to create the very fondly remembered The Superstars. And if you are of a certain age, as I am, you remember The Superstars very fondly. It was the greatest show on television.
I'm not of his age, so I do not.
They used to take athletes from all different sports, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever, and have them compete in track and field events to see who was the best athlete. And it was fantastic. Great show. Here's something closer to your heart, Shay. He did run NBC during the 1990s. And had a hand in launching a couple of shows, Friends, ER.
Friends is my favorite.
Will and Grace, coming back to television.
I was
going to
say, I'm very excited. Oh my goodness, Karen is my spirit animal.
And Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
Oh.
So Don Ohlmeyer helped to create
in that case, I'm more on board with caring about his passing.
Were. Yeah, no, Don Ohlmeyer.
I mean, the name is familiar, but just, you know, you say football and my brain just kind of...
It's not a name that's immediately in people's minds. If you know broadcasting and you were a fan of, you know, any of these shows or networks or any of that, but
honestly,
you may have remembered it.
Strangely enough, I think that the reason the name rings a bell is because I know it from the credits of Friends.
Yeah. This guy was...
Which I ironically am currently binge-watching on Netflix.
This guy was...
You guys can too. It's on Netflix.
Hugely, hugely influential.
Obviously, Monday Night, as much as, you know, I'm a Pats fan, and so far as I'm from New England, and Rob Gronkowski is the hottest man of all time, but Monday Night Football, I can still... even though I'm not a by and large a football fan, I can still appreciate the like the genius that is that concept.
Yeah.
Even though it does always make me think of that jerk from 9/11.
But also,
it's like, oh my God, Monday Night Football saved my life because I got too drunk.
Late Night with Conan O'Brien was the first of the second night.
Late night shows. Yeah.
So
true.
All of that really shaped the media environment that we live in now. So Don Allemeyer, great, great, great work. Pioneering broadcaster. Gone at the age of 72.
This is my last one, right?
Yep.
I'm debating between two. All right, I'll do this one. Fabulous.
What was your other one?
Marriott.
I need more than fabulous.
Fabulously.
Fabulously. It's all kafifi to me. I have no idea.
Fabulously sized. How's that?
Fabulously sized. I can guess where this is going, but I don't know the specifics.
Kmart has changed the name of its plus-size clothing to Fabulously Sized. The Fabulously Sized section includes extended sizes from Kmart labels, including Jaclyn Smith and Basic Edition. Two other Kmart brands, Intimates and Attention Plus, now come in a wider range of sizes up to 5X, 4X, 5X. Some of the Fabulously Sized items will be available in their own section, the store's former plus department, but many extended size items will be mixed into the main women's section. This helps eliminate the reluctance some women may feel to shop in the plus size section while ensuring that all shoppers have access to the same outfits.
I think the reluctance some women feel is to shop at Kmart.
Yeah, that's the reluctance they should feel.
When you can go to Old Navy and buy things for half the price in a clean store.
And I that's what I was going to bring up in reading this, is they're like, we're still going to have the plus size department, but you can also get the plus size stuff in the regular size department. It's like, then just don't have the plus size department.
Yeah.
Just do what Old Navy does, where they just have every size and just have bigger racks to accommodate, like, from XS to XXXXXL. It's not... That's what I think is so annoying. This helps eliminate the reluctance some women feel to shop in the plus size section. It's like...
No, no. They're reluctant to shop at Kmart. Kmart. That's your... I believe those some of those Kmarts are so empty now that there are roving packs of feral dogs in parts of the stores.
Well, this... That was the... well, that was the other thing that I thought was so interesting about the story.
If you want to see what society is going to look like after the apocalypse, you can go to Kmart now and experience it for yourself.
When the apocalypse comes, I'm going to a Super Kmart because I'm just going to use all of the stuff that's there.
There will that's probably the best place to go because... Yeah. Nobody believes that it's open anymore, and exactly. There is food in there.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's going to be well-stocked. They've got food. They've got tools. They've got everything you could possibly need.
People are going to be driving by. They're going to be like, Kmart?
Shoot, why am I giving everyone this idea on the radio?
No.
Dang it.
You can still, you go to Sears, too.
That's true. Well, that's every good teen dramedy has a We Got Locked in the Mall episode.
You know how bad things are at Sears now? They don't fix the escalators anymore.
You just have to, those are like, escalators are tough to walk up. And this is coming from someone with like 40-inch legs. You've got to really pick your knees up to walk up escalators when they're not on.
They're just blocking them off now when they stop working.
Oh.
Which means you have to use the lower mall entrance to get into the lower level of Sears.
Well, what I found so interesting about this story, much aligned with what we were talking about with Rebel Wilson earlier, is that with in mind that Kmart is flailing, this is such a PR move because it's so, you know, chic right now to be very body positive and like plus size women are beautiful and da 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 da. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're not. There are some hot ass plus size women, but it's still totally buying into. I mean, it's like in the 60s when paper dresses were cool. They're like, we have a whole paper dress section now.
It's also Kmart.
It is also Kmart.
It's Kmart.
I've bought one thing from Kmart in my entire life, and it's when, or at least one item of clothing, I should say, from Kmart in my entire life. It was when me and my mom were looking at colleges, and I was looking at Clemson, which for those of you who don't know, is in the middle of nowhere in South Carolina. But we had to take like a puddle jumper plane, and they lost our baggage, and the only thing for miles was Kmart.
Yeah.
And so we just bought like pajamas and underwear. The underwear disintegrated in the wash after one wash.
Yeah, yeah. Kmart used to be where America shops for value. Now, Kmart is where America shops for no discernible reason.
When there's nothing else for hundreds of miles.
Where America shops for hope, I think. Poor Kmart. We'll miss you. They're shutting a bunch of those down, too. All right, last one for you. Sergio Dip.
Sergio Dip.
Sergio Dip. It is dip season, by the way.
Dip?
Sergio Dip.
Sergio Dip.
Yep.
Nope.
Sergio Dip made his debut on Monday Night Football in the late game.
You're doing this on purpose.
home of ESPN's annual high crimes against broadcasting. Sergio Dip is an ESPN Deportivos anchor, but they chucked him on the sideline during the Monday Night Football game, and he had this to say.
Beth, Coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL, and here he is having the time of his life.
Sergio Dip, ladies and gentlemen, they did not cut back to him. For some reason, after that sideline moment.
He sounds... Have you ever seen, like, in middle school when they do the... Not even cable access, but when it's just, like, kids fooling around with a camera and they do a pretend news broadcast?
Yes.
That's what that sounds like. That sounds like a 12-year-old. And I'm not saying because he has an accent or anything like that. I'm just saying sounded like...
Deer caught in the headlights.
He looks so awesome right now. It's the coolest.
He's having the time of his life.
He's really having fun. And I like having fun, too.
Do I need to tell you that Sergio Dip is now America's sweetheart?
I mean, he's pretty hot. I'm looking at a picture.
The internet fell in love and wants to see more of him.
And fell in hate, evidently. He's being both loved and torn apart.
You know, haters are going to hate. The haters come out as soon as anything becomes popular. You just want to tear the guy down. I want more Sergio Dip. You know what? You could replace Sean McDonald with Sergio Dip, and I might start watching your lousy Monday night broadcast at home.
I am currently looking at a super cute picture of him holding a football and a basketball like they're twin babies.
He's a good looking guy.
I was gonna say, he's very
cute. He's a good looking guy, and he's just like...
He's a lovable doof.
Yeah, he is, and we need more of that. 855-915-9636 is the phone number. It is WMFO Medford. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why I hate the government. One of the real reasons why I hate the government is not what you think. This is a legitimate reason to hate the government, and you should hate them too. Coming up next, WMFO Medford.
dreams you should be keeping pure and simple every time. Look at me with starry eyes, push me up to starry skies. The stardust in my head, pure and simple every time. Fresh and deep as oceans new, shiver at the sight of you. I'll sing a soft tune, pure and simple over you.
Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh. Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens, brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. I'm Derek Gary. She is Shay Spillane. We are with you until 9 o'clock tonight, when On the Town with Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. As I promised at the start of the show, I'm going to get into some detail But why I hate the United States government.
And it's not why you might think.
I hate the United States government because Equifax got hacked.
Mm-hmm.
And 143 million Americans, including yours truly, now have their credit information, social security numbers, birth dates, phone numbers, all sorts of identifying information floating around somewhere on the dark web, waiting for bad people to take advantage of it, and nobody seems to be able to do anything.
Yeah, that I can't decide which part is more more frustrating, which is that this happened, or that everyone's kind of throwing their hands up and they're like, whoops, I don't,
Here's your
There's literally nothing to be done.
Here's your problem, in a nutshell. Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, Fair Isaac, the companies that control all the credit in the United States, spend billions of dollars lobbying Congress, buying and selling politicians to consolidate their power, to keep their power, to obscure whatever process it is that they use to determine what our credit scores are. We have no idea. We don't know what the formula is, how the formula works, what any of it means. All we know is that they have all of the power.
Yeah, they decide whether we get a credit card, whether we get a house, whether we get a car.
They have all the power, and they're about as transparent as a FISA court. And if you've been following everything that Edward Snowden's been saying, you know what the FISA courts are. And then they get hacked. Why do they get hacked? Because they're not following basic security rules. They get hacked on July 29th, and we don't find out about it until September. And then when we find out about it, what does Equifax do? Oh, we'll give you free credit monitoring. But you gotta, but you have to waive your right to sue us if you want the free credit monitoring. Turns out, once the Attorney General started threatening to sue, you can now get the free credit monitoring without waiving your right to sue. If you can get the website to work, which nobody can.
I was going to say, which I was reading an article earlier today, that literally it comes up as HTTP can't be found.
Oh, I actually got the form. I actually submitted the form and then nothing happened. And I haven't heard anything from these people in several hours.
You see what happens when I do it right now.
Tried to sign up for the credit freeze. Originally, they were charging the same people that let our information into the hands of nefarious individuals. We're going to charge you for the privilege of freezing your credit report.
Cute.
They backed off on that, and guess what happened? Everybody has now gone to the freeze site to freeze their credit reports, and that's gone down. There isn't a government official anywhere within 20 miles of this other than the state attorneys general who are lining up to sue because they want to get a nice juicy settlement to kick back into the state coffers.
Well, and the irony of this, of course, is that large in part why the website probably, and I, again, this is totally speculation, large in part is, as you said, 136 million people.
143.
Sorry, 143 million people.
Including myself.
God, Derek, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
We're affected by this.
Yeah.
And much like anything else, when millions of people are trying to do something that involves the internet or data or what have you, it'll go down. Yeah, I'm on Equifax.com at the moment. Equifax cybersecurity incident. To learn more about the cybersecurity incident, including whether your personal information was potentially impacted, or to sign up for complimentary identity theft protection and credit file monitoring, click here to enter EquifaxSecurity2017.com.
And here's what I love about these guys.
Do you know what would have been a better time to have EquifaxSecurity2017.com? Before this happened.
Yeah. you know what I love about this whole thing? To sign up for the free credit monitoring, you have to give them your social security number.
Oh, yeah, because giving you my
social security number is what got us into this mess in the first place. And by the way, I haven't, since I bought my house almost 2 years ago, I haven't done anything with any of the credit. I haven't bought a car. I haven't applied for credit cards. I haven't done anything with my credit at all. I haven't even opened a new bank account in 2 years.
Wow.
So this is information that's been sitting around for a while. And obviously, you know, the question is, what do you do in this situation? And
you can yell about it on the radio.
Well, you can yell, but this is the thing. I shouldn't have to be yelling about it on the radio.
I know. And this is...
And there are too many Americans sitting around throwing their hands up just saying, well, it's just the way it is. No, it is not just the way it is.
Or at least it shouldn't be.
Half of the country had their personal information stolen. Okay? That means that somebody in Ukraine, somebody in China, somebody in Florida is online right now on the dark web downloading your information and getting credit cards with it.
I was going to say, and becoming Derek Gary.
And becoming you and destroying your credit. And you're not going to find out about it until you go to get a credit card or you go to buy a house or you go to buy a car. And they're like, oh, your credit's garbage.
And how did you find out that you were affected by this?
They actually have the thing on their website working now where you give them part of your social security number. Isn't that what caused this problem in the first place?
Aye.
You give them your last name and part of your social security number and they will tell you if your information was stolen. Mine was.
But so had you done a credit check with Equifax before and that's how they had your information? Or is it just literally just because they have all of our information?
It's because they have everyone's information. They've got it on record from somewhere, from something, probably from when I bought my house 2 years ago.
Oh, gracious. This is, once again, I don't have enough fingers and toes to count how many times with institutions like this, that this should have been preemptively prevented. This should have been something, we're talking people's social security numbers, people, the information you need to do anything, like social security numbers, birth date, full name, the things that were it not for the internet, we would be keeping in vaults in our houses. Any website that's going to take these things, and that you're going to entrust with these things should have like the 30 stories down below a Vegas casino style level security.
You've got to believe, or as a consumer, you would like to believe that companies like Equifax and Experian and TransUnion that hold all of America's personal information are going to recognize the fact that they are a prime target for every hacker on the planet. Just like the Social Security Administration is a prime target. Just like the State Department is a prime target.
Mm-hmm.
State Department got hacked a few years back. I got caught up in that one because my wife had to apply for security clearance. So her information got compromised. Now we've got this one. But the State Department thing, unless you had applied for security clearance with the State Department, that didn't affect you. That shows how determined the hackers are. And the fact that they will try and possibly succeed in getting in at everything. Where are these guys while this is going on? Are you sitting there saying, oh, no, our security is good enough?
This probably what happened to us.
How is it possible to get this many records without somebody noticing? We're not talking about, you know, a couple pieces of data here and there.
Or
we're
like
talking
a couple about hundred or even a couple thousand.
143 million records were transferred to a third party over the course of a month before you noticed, and then you didn't tell anybody about it for a month. Oh, we had to investigate the scope of the problem.
No,
this is not acceptable.
Under the rug.
This is not acceptable. This does not fly anymore. And the American people should rightfully be sitting here and saying, where the hell is the damn government? When 50% of America has had their identity stolen, where is the damn government? Where is Congress? Where is the Justice Department? Where is the Fed? Well, it's not the Feds, but the Banking Commission.
Yeah,
where is the Treasury Department?
The Treasury.
Where are the government officials holding Equifax accountable for this? When a bank is in danger of going under, they come pouring
sweeping
out of the
in,
woodwork.
Yeah.
Remember the banking crisis back in 2008?
Unfortunately.
They came pouring out of the, we've got to save the banks. We have to save the banks. And they moved heaven and earth in a matter of days to save the banks because the banks were too big to fail.
And now it's their actual people, their citizens.
Half of America is screwed by this.
That's I think this is such a perfect symbol for, and I hate to say it, but unless you are either educated or educate yourself about this, a lot of people don't even realize it. Our government, by and large, doesn't work for us.
No.
They're supposed to, theoretically. That's the baseline that our country is founded on.
This is what we're taught as children. Our government is there to take care of us.
For the people. The government's going to take care of everything. No. They're going to take care of themselves, and they're going to take care of their interests and the interests of their friends.
Yeah.
And this is a perfect example of that, Derek. That's a perfect analogy. When it was the banks, which a lot of them had stock in, a lot of them had friends who were the CEO.
The Congressional Retirement Fund is in jeopardy. We must act.
Yes, a lot of them had their own livelihoods stocked in. They ran as fast as they could to help out. Now, it's your average citizen being screwed, and they're doing nothing. And it is a perfect representation of how this government really works if you pull back the veil and actually see it for what it actually is.
Attorney General's filing class action suits does not count as any sort of a solution to this.
No.
Okay?
Of course not.
Class action suit was inevitable. The first one was filed the same day this was announced. That's inevitable. Okay? The question is,
it's a Band-Aid for a bullet wound.
We have a private corporation that has screwed over 143 million Americans. And if you want to protect yourself against this, you got to spend $20. And I'll get to that.
Oh my God.
I'll get to that in a second. So the windfall for the credit card industry is about $300 billion. They're going to make almost $300 billion.
Off of a mistake they made.
Off of lousy security. Off of a problem that they created. And the federal government is nowhere to be seen. Now, look, we sit here and we complain about the government. We say, president should have done this, and they should be doing that, and they should be doing the other thing. You know what? A lot of that is theoretical. A lot of that is Monday morning quarterbacking. A lot of that is us trying to project a fantasy world that we would like to live in that doesn't necessarily jive with reality. Sometimes we're just talking about people who are crappy at their jobs as politicians. This is one of the fundamental problems with the government of the United States of America. These four corporations, Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, Fair Isaac, are completely unaccountable to the customers that they serve. 143 million Americans have had their financial lives put in jeopardy. And there is not a single government official who has stepped forward to say, we're looking into this, we're taking action, we're going to protect the people. Why? Because Experian and Equifax and TransUnion and Fair Isaac Corporation throw billions of dollars, and I mean billions of dollars, at Congress and at the United States government to make sure that they are continued to allow to do whatever the hell they want to do. And this is where we are today.
And it's having the number that it costs, insult to injury is that it's $20 for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie V for Vendetta?
Yes.
For those of you who haven't seen it, who are listening, spoiler alert if you want to see it, but for those of you who have, there's this basic theory that ends up panning out that it takes place in Great Britain, and this virus is somehow released.
Well, it's a dysfunctional Alan Moore version of Great Britain.
It's a warped alternative universe Great Britain, but theoretically there's this virus that's released, and it really, really scares a bunch of people, and then all of a sudden this vaccine gets released. And it costs a lot of money, but everyone buys it, and it's like a cure-all. But it ends up just getting fed right back into the people who released the virus in the first place. That's what this feels like. That's what this feels like, is we're paying the people whose fault it is to fix it.
That's what you're going to have to do. Because here's what you need to do. If you've heard about this, if you're uncertain, if you don't know what's going on.
Why did my Irish citizenship come through?
Equifax has a website set up. You want to go in there. The button to check whether or not you're affected by this now works. It wasn't working last week. It was working today. It was working as of this afternoon. You give them the last 6 digits of your social security number and your last name. They will tell you whether or not your information was compromised. If your information was compromised, you need to file to have your credit frozen with all three of the reporting companies. That is Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Equifax, because they have been shamed into it, is waiving the $10 credit freeze fee.
Oh, cute. But nice.
But you're going to have to pay the fee to TransUnion and Experian. The good news is there will be a class action settlement, so in 10 years you'll get your $20 back, minus any interest, of course. But believe me, spending that $20 right now, even if it's a little bit of a hardship for you, spending that $20 right now is far better than the consequences. And if you're sitting there saying to yourself, oh, 143 million people, what are the odds? If the odds are greater than zero, the amount of time and money that it costs to untangle yourself from identity theft will drive you over the edge.
Oh, yeah. My sister got her identity stolen, surely from her wallet got stolen on the subway. This is 10 years ago. It was back when your license number was your social security number. And all of a sudden, she's getting these credit alerts. You spent $20,000 at a jewelry store in Georgia. And it was, that was small scale. They could pinpoint it to one person, and it was a nightmare. This is catastrophic.
8 years. You could expect to spend 8 years trying to repair damage caused to your credit rating by a fraudster. If you're going to tell me that $20 is worth more than 8 years, I can't help you on that. But that's the smartest thing that you can do is to freeze your credit. Unfortunately, you can't do that right now because everyone's trying to do it and all the websites are down. This is why I hate the government of the United States of America, because it is so clearly in the pocket of organizations that could give two craps about the American people, and because the government is not there in a moment like this when we absolutely need them. And if you want to know why everybody in America is so angry, if you want to know why everyone in this country is so disillusioned, it's because of things like this. When we realize that, yes, it is every man for himself out here. We are on our own because the government is not there to provide the most basic protections for its people. 855-915-9636. Hey, when we come back, fun stuff, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Battle of All aboard! Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dreams.
I'm really not feeling this song right now.
Right? WMFO 91.5 Medford. This is The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane, and with me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you for a few more minutes. If you want to call in, it's 855-915-9636. Now is What's Hot, which is our favorite or most memorable thing from the last week. For me, it's actually, I don't want to say it's my favorite thing, but something came up that I thought was important to mention on the radio. A member of the Boston comedy community lost his life to suicide over the weekend, and out of respect for his friends and family, I'd prefer not to say his name on the radio, but I wanted to use the opportunity to say to anyone out there who's listening and is suffering and contemplating doing something to hurt themselves, please don't. You are not even close to alone, and there is so much help out there, including affordable therapy and free support groups. Trust me, I am broke, and I've been able to afford it. And remember, if you need help immediately, just call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. And also, just much love to my Boston comedy homies who are in mourning right now. I love all of with you.
Yeah, no matter how far adrift you think you may be,
you can be pulled back.
There are people out there who are willing to help you, who have dedicated their lives to being there in those moments
and
of need.
And who want to help you.
Who want to help you. Yeah, that's what they're there for. And, you know, even if you don't think you can find any support around people that you know, don't be afraid to reach out to somebody.
Yeah, and it's as cheesy as it sounds, you're not alone.
No.
And even when you feel really alone, you're not. And all you have to do is ask for help.
Our thoughts go out to everyone in the Boston comedy community.
Yeah, it's been a tough week.
It's been touched by this. It's been a tough few days. I've seen it firsthand, and yeah, a lot of sadness out there. Okay, let's.
God, the Lego song was not a good lead into that.
Man, I need a transition to get into this because this is gonna sound totally.
Some things are great, though, and it's good to, on a lighter note, is good to appreciate the little things in life.
Nothing's great.
Derek, but the Lego people just said it. Everything is awesome.
Yeah. Well, here's some good news from the Nintendo people. We like the Nintendo people.
God, that does seem really numb.
Yeah, I know. But this is a big deal to a lot of people.
No, so totally. People and I love Nintendo. Things. Nintendo. Rock.
We mentioned that the Super Nintendo Classic.
Yes, we were talking about that last week.
Pre-orders came out a couple weeks ago, sold out immediately. Don't panic, because Nintendo announced earlier this week that they are going to ship more of them than they had originally planned to the United States at the end of this month. The street date is September 29th. They are going to continue shipments of them for the rest of the year, and they are going to continue shipments into 2018. So, Reggie Fils-Aimé, who is the North American spokesman for Nintendo, said, "Do not spend more than $80 for one of these. Don't go buy it on eBay. You will be able to get one eventually."
Oh, that's...
So that's good news.
Yeah.
Here's the more good news. In the summer of 2018, the Nintendo Entertainment System Classic, which sold out in 5 minutes last year and set up this whole thing, is going to be re-released. Here in North America, you will have another chance to go get the NES Classic. It's going to be on sale next summer.
Nice.
And again, there are going to be tons of them out there. Nintendo said they were legitimately caught off guard by how much people loved these classic systems.
Oh yeah, that's, I'd always prefer that too. We were talking about with Sega with the 3D Sonic, it freaks me
out. Yeah, and they said they didn't make a lot of them because in general these flashback systems or whatever you want to call them have a bad reputation because there's been a lot of cheap crap put on the market. Yeah. But when Nintendo put out something that was legit, everybody went nuts for it. And so Nintendo is like, "Don't worry, we will take your money. We're making more."
Smart go Nintendo.
Move. Yeah, that's what you want to do. Take our money, make more. And where is... Nothing is working tonight.
And now to close out the show, we have The Thing That Happened, which is both of our craziest stories we saw from the past week. Mine, I thought I'd give Florida a break. They're kind of going through enough. But a traffic stop for a speeding ticket escalated quickly in Wiscasset, Maine this weekend and ended with assault charges and an officer in the hospital. Police Chief Jeffrey Lang says he pulled over 50-year-old Jean Sherman of Dresden Sunday. When he looked inside her car, she had drug paraphernalia out in the open. He called an officer for backup who conducted a search of her purse. The officers asked her repeatedly if she had anything that would poke, hurt, or stick them, and she responded, "Absolutely not." When the other officer on the scene reached inside Sherman's purse, he got stuck with a needle, which Sherman later admitted had heroin in it, as well as, quote, "old blood," end quote. The officer was taken to a nearby hospital and tested for infections. His HIV test has come back negative, but police are still waiting for results of the hepatitis one. She's been... It's just so ridiculous. The fact that this woman is 50, too.
Yeah.
Sherman has been charged with assault on a police officer for recklessly lying about the 4 needles in her purse and the use of drug paraphernalia, in addition to the speeding ticket, which the chief of police said probably would have been the only charge had she not been forthcoming.
Don't
about
lie to the cops, folks. Never works.
Nope.
New York. Like many concert goers, Alex Diamond was tired of the high prices for alcohol at the Electric Zoo Festival on Randall Island, so he decided to do something about it. Weeks before the festival began, Diamond buried a full bottle of vodka at the site of the concert. When he arrived for the concert a few weeks later, he dug out the bottle and avoided the usual hassle with security. Diamond, who said the only challenge with his plan was not getting caught by cameras or security guards, told media his plan...